Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Before we get to quick takes, I want to give a quick shout out to our friend Terry, who beat me at Smarter Than Carter a couple weeks ago. But we agreed to send each other hats. So I sent Terry a hat, and he sent me a hat, and I got it. J&R Meats. This is his, I believe his son's. Yeah, Jake Holmes, co-owner of J&R Meats.
Nice.
In Warman, Minnesota. I've actually been through Warman, Minnesota. And it's actually, if you blink, you'll go right through Warman without seeing it. But he sent me a hat. So bravo, Terry. Thank you very much. I will wear it with pride. And
nice.
Thank you very much for the hat.
Did you send Terry a hat?
I did. I sent Terry a hat. I can't remember which hat I sent Terry, but hopefully he's enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much. Making good, a little give and take on Smarter Than Carter.
Influencers have been promoting whole sticks of butter as the perfect portable snack. It's really good for you, explains one creator during a highly watched video featuring large sticks of butter being bitten into like candy bars. Now, for a long time, butter was considered unhealthy, mainly because of the saturated fat content. However, some now are touting its health benefits. Most experts agree that people who are watching their cholesterol should generally still avoid consuming large amounts of butter. Adam and Jordana, what's your take on a stick of butter as a good, portable, healthy snack?
Yeah. I mean, they're idiots. They're just idiots.
I remember a commercial. There was a commercial one time where a woman was sitting on the couch and she was eating a stick of butter like a candy bar.
Mm-hmm. But it was a joke commercial.
It was a joke, correct.
Right. And I get it that trends change. And by the way, I feel like we can't trust the FDA. Remember when they told us all salt was bad for us, or we weren't supposed to eat eggs,
yeah,
or we weren't supposed to eat carbs, or we weren't supposed to eat fat. Like, everything goes in trends. And the FDA doesn't seem to have the answers for us either, because look at everybody. We're all fat and we have terrible diseases like diabetes and bad, you know, joints and all of that stuff because we're so heavy. So we've screwed it up. But really, friends, a giant stick of butter? It doesn't even taste good. Who's eating a stick of butter? Yeah.
Butter.
Oh, it does taste pretty good.
No, eating a stick of butter does not taste
good. Butter makes everything better. Mm. But yeah, you're right. On its own, I mean, I think as a kid, I might have done that. I don't think I ate a whole stick of butter, but I probably took a bite out of a stick of butter.
Salt makes everything better, too, but you're not chugging salt.
No.
No one's pounding a cup of salt.
No. I do love butter, though. I love butter, not that much, though.
No. This is a pass.
Lifetime Fitness says artificial intelligence will be a big part of the future of fitness. The company already uses machine learning to create an algorithm to help understand how to help members lose weight and work out better. Coming next, an AI app that will basically serve as a member's personal trainer. Adam and Jordana, would you be ready? Is this a place you'd be comfortable interacting with AI instead of having a real person as a trainer? You have like an AI bot who's your personal trainer.
I mean, it's the continued progression of how we use AI in our everyday lives. Even before, you know, we technically had AI, the advancements in, there's so many apps that you can download and you plug in, like how much you weigh, how tall you are, what are your goals, and it sets a plan for you. So this is, it's not a new concept. Now this is the next step where I guess you have, you know, like a fake trainer. Will it work for some people? I hope so. You know, some people need that personal motivation. Whether they can get that from a computer trainer or a real-life trainer, I guess that's the decision you have to make for yourself.
This is going to be pretty bad for recent divorcees. Because oftentimes when you get a divorce,
you get skinny.
You go back to the gym, you hit the gym, you want somebody to help you look better. You know, you're on the dating market.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, I don't know this from personal experience, but a lot of friends' experience, you start sleeping with the trainer.
What?
And if it's going to be an AI bot, this isn't good for anybody. It's not good for the divorcee, and it's not good for the trainer.
No.
This means people are...
Okay.
It's true. It's
Hold
true.
On. You just said a lot. So that means that you know a lot would be like more than three. You know more than three people who have gotten divorced and started sleeping with their trainer.
No, but I know three. I know that's what I was going to say, three.
Wow.
But I mean, I know three, at least three.
Jeez.
That have admitted to it.
Okay.
You know, that have told me about it, that... have slept with the trainer that they hired after the divorce or the breakup. And I mean, again, it works for the trainer. It works for them. They get fit. The trainer gets fitter.
Canceling my wife's health club membership right now. Stay away from the trainer.
Wow.
Friends, I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. Some truth telling.
Well, I mean, it is. Clearly, you understand how that happens. I mean, it's a physical activity. People are wearing, you know, the athletic clothing that is very revealing.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, this is an easy way to get back into the dating pool. Hopefully, no harm, no foul. Might not be your trainer after you stop sleeping with them, but, you know. So, again, this is why I'm against the AI bots, because I think people should be having healthy, consensual sexual relationships.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, moving on.
Didn't think it would take that kind of turn.
I did not think it was going to take that turn either.
Leave it to Jordana to put it right in the gutter again.
Seriously.
That's right.
The airline industry has been trying to make air travel more efficient, and some engineers are now suggesting that an entirely new type of aircraft shape is required to save big on fuel economy. This does away with the traditional tube and wing design that's been a mainstay for 100 years in favor of something called a blended wing body. There's a picture of that in front of you, Adam, in Jordana. It basically makes the wing part of the fuselage. So instead of having a tube, it's like the wing is part of the tube. It's a little hard to explain. But apparently making airplanes like this could save up to 50% in fuel savings. And it would also significantly change the way boarding and seating happens on airplanes. It's a prototype at the time.
I look at that plane. I think that's a fat plane. That looks like a fat plane.
It looks like a fat plane.
Yeah.
Needs a trainer.
Yes.
Might be flying by 2030. Do you think we're ready to, like, significantly change the way air travel and airplanes look?
Yes. I mean, airplanes have always been fairly similar looking, obviously for aerodynamic reasons.
Tube and wing. I'd never heard that before, but that's what it is.
Tube and wing. I used to call it the aluminum tube of death.
Yes.
When I was scared of flying.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, you want more room, right? I mean, that looks very roomy. It looks like a big fat plane.
But, you know, we still haven't managed to board a plane properly after all the time that humans have tried to travel via air. We still have gate lice. We still have people screwing up seats. We still. So, you know what? Maybe
what
we just junk
that. Did you just say gate lice?
Gate lice are the folks that stand around the gate before their boarding time.
Got it.
And remember, there's going to be, now United is going to have a big alarm that sounds if you try to board. Well, they're saying they want to cut down on gate lice. That person that pops up and is like hovering there until they call C or trying to get on 1 second before the person behind them, like ridic. It's called gate lice.
Yeah.
That's who you are if you do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Get away. Step away. Let me pass.
Right. So clearly, we humans don't understand the concept of boarding planes. We have failed epically at this in the past. So if this can make it easier for our small brains to wrap around, then maybe we'll get it right this time with the fat plane. Did I just plane shame him?
Yeah, you kind of did.
Fat shame the plane?
I called it the fat plane. It looks like a fat plane.
Yeah. Sorry.
Grab your wagons, oxen, and get ready to ford the river. A movie adaptation of the popular grade school computer game Oregon Trail is in development by Apple. Adam and Jordana, did you play Oregon Trail growing up, and are you excited about the movie version?
I've heard of it. I didn't play it. Did you play it, Adam? You're a little younger than me.
All the time. So this is like, you know, when you got your Apple IIe or your Apple IIc. Mm-hmm. This is one of the first games, and it was in green, you know, that green screen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oregon Trail gave me many, many hours of entertainment. And so the movie adaptation of it, I assume that's going to be like a comedy. Because, you know, you die of dysentery or you die of, measles.
Many things. Lots of ways to die. Yep.
Your wagon axle has broken.
Right.
But Lucy drowned in the river.
Yeah. But I remember in the first iteration of the game, you also shot in, you'd be attacked by Indians.
Oh, gosh.
And you would shoot Indians. And I think after a while, they said,
Native Americans.
Native Americans.
That's not what they were called in the game,
like
though.
You're being attacked.
I know.
I understand. I think they had to change that.
I was going to say, the version I played, you know, I guess a little after that, there was shooting, but you were hunting. So you could, like.
Yeah, you could hunt, but you also would come under attack.
Wow, I do not remember that part.
Native Americans. So they changed that, rightfully so.
So are you going to see the movie? Are you excited about this?
No.
No. Okay.
Unless it's, it depends on, like, how they do it.
David, it sounds like you used to play. Are you going to go see the movie?
I did used to play. What I actually want to do is go back and find the version that I played. I'm sure there's a way to play it online now and go play the game again. But, no, I don't really need to relive that as a movie.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was playing. You guys were more advanced with your Apples. We never had Apples. We had an Atari.
Yeah.
Did you ever have an Atari?
We had an Atari. Oh, yeah. I remember.
We were playing like, no?
Asteroids.
I never had an Apple. You could play it on it was on a 5.5-inch floppy disk. We played it on the PC.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't do that. I was playing Frogger and Pitfall and Pac-Man, those old school games. Pong.
Yeah.
I know.
Somebody just texted. They're engaged with their AI trainer. Wish us luck and years of happiness.
Yeah. There you go. Number four. We'll be right back.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Care about prime numbers. I don't care that some computer scientist, data guy, found a record-breaking prime number containing more than 41 million digits. I don't care about that. And by the way, neither should you. This guy, Luke Durant, he's 36 years old. He's a programmer for NVIDIA, by the way. If you have NVIDIA stock, good on you. Wish I had bought it. He took a year of his own time and a lot of his own money, they say, it doesn't have a number, to find the world's largest known prime number. And by the way, it's not really a number. It's called M13627984-1. Does anyone know what that means? No, we don't know what that means because it doesn't matter and nobody cares.
Well, I mean, some people care. I mean, number geeks care about it.
But why? And the reason this piqued my interest this morning is because CNN had a piece on it. They wrote an article about it. I'm like, okay, so maybe I should care about this. I'm not a math. Obviously, I don't even do math. I don't do simple math on this show. So I really don't care that much about math. I've never used calculus in my life. I've never used algebra. I just haven't used any of that stuff that I had to suffer through in middle school or high school. So people have been studying this for years and years and years. So this guy sends himself on this quest to find this number. I finally get to the bottom of the article where it says there's no application for this. Despite the fact that we now found it, there is no current use for finding the largest prime number in the universe. That's it. That's it. He's eligible for a $3,000 Research Discovery Award. He spent way more than that of his own time. He's going to donate his prize money anyway. But there is no applicable use for this. Friends, why does somebody go on a quest to find something that is useless?
Okay, Jor, I agree that this has no interest to me or you, but like, people do things like this all the time. Like, what if, like, I think about somebody who, like, goes and climbs a mountain or canoes a river or, like, does something in nature. Like, oh, I went to the furthest this or the, right. you know, walked around that lake or whatever, did something adventurous. And you go, no, there's no reason that you needed to climb to that mountain in the middle of nowhere. But you just did it for yourself.
It's your passion.
Yeah, and you wouldn't tell that person, oh, that's worthless. It's just like a personal project. And if you are into math and your personal project is to do that, like, yes, it doesn't fuel the world, but it's just a hobby for him. And isn't it okay to have a pointless hobby?
And do we really know it's pointless?
Well, it says in the article, while there are no practical applications for such astonishing large prime numbers today, it does not diminish the significance to those involved in the project. I guess when I was reading it, I thought, what a shame that this beautiful mind can't be put to something more useful. And I understand maybe this was just a year, okay? But people have been working. So the founder of an organization who has been running a collaborative prime number project said this has been a hobby for him for 28 years. Okay, it's been a hobby for 28 years. These people are probably geniuses. I would really love them to find a cure for cancer or a use of math that could, you know, land us on the moon safely. One would assume there are so many other practical uses for math. Again, I don't know what they are because I don't know anything about math.
Well, they're probably doing that too. And this is like a side project. I mean, that's apples and oranges, though. It's like, well, okay, you're really good at being on the radio, but boy, you should have been doing so. I mean, I think about it all the time. It's like, am I really helping anybody by doing this? No, it's my job. I mean,
you know, we're talking things through. Come on, we're keeping people company. We're talking things through or maybe giving somebody a laugh. And they admit in the piece that this program's best use, this program searching for the largest prime number, maybe its best use, quote, will be inspiring the next generation of young mathematicians.
Which
well,
we need.
If you are a young, inspired mathematician, please put your math skills to use that will benefit society in some way. I would love to see that. I want everybody to do math, be a STEM kid, but then find something useful that the world benefits from.
George, geez, ripping on butter eaters and now ripping on numbers. Did you get up on the Chad side of the bed this morning?
No, I was the one who's all peace and love with the Trumpers.
Yeah.
But I was like, I cannot believe we're wasting time looking for a prime number. And then because I read the whole article and at the end, they say there's no practical applications for this. I thought to myself, there must be a reason. And I was so disappointed. I was like, that's it? I'm reading this whole article to find out that this quest for the holy grail of prime numbers ends up as a zilch? Nothing? Like, there's just nothing. And I thought to myself, what a waste. Let's get that mind working on some other good stuff.
I love you, mathematicians. I will support you no matter what happens.
There you go.
And those people that know what we're the people that were probably know more about this than we do, which is like everybody in math, are probably laughing right now going, they have no idea what they're talking about.
I'm just telling you what CNN told me, which is there is no practical use of this.
Fake news.
And even the guy who's been running the project for 28 years searching for this number said, oh, it'll inspire young mathematicians. I don't know. All right, I'll get off my curmudgeon soapbox for the day.
It is 10:30, and we have traffic and weather coming up. And we're also going to discuss doomsday preppers. We've talked about doomsday. We had a guest on one time talking about doomsday preppers, if I remember correctly. But how, like, people are actually scared of this election and are stocking up, fearing the worst. I want to know if any of you are listening right now, and please tell me why you're doing that. That's next on CCL.
I go to Costco yesterday. Couple of things I needed. Boy, was
Sunday?
That a mistake.
Oof,
God. I must be an insane person. I am driving around the parking lot. 10 minutes I'm driving with Ruby. We're both looking for spots. I looked at her. I said, girlfriend, we are giving up. I'm going to come back later. I can't stand this. Because if it's like this in the parking lot, I'm not going in. I can only imagine what Costco is like. And that's what I did. I dropped her off at home, did a couple different errands, went back to the Costco, got myself a parking spot. I go in. It is pretty crowded in there. I see a friend who I know who works at Costco. And I say to her, what is happening? Is it always like this on Sunday? I don't know. Maybe I don't go on Sunday. Maybe I go like during the weeks to avoid the crowd. Not that there's ever not a crowd at Costco. There's always a crowd. She says to me, Jor, our staff couldn't even find parking spaces because the preppers are in. We sell survival kits here at Costco, and people are buying survival kits and canned goods and potted products, you know, because they're afraid of the election day and the fallout. I looked at her incredulous, and she goes, oh, it's real. She was restocking shelves. She said, absolutely real. So the question is, were you at Costco yesterday prepping?
Do we really believe, though, that the massive crowd, first of all, Costco is always busy on Sunday, but that it would be any more busy yesterday because people specifically were going to Costco for survival kits? Now,
we did
look it up. They do sell, like you can get a big bucket of food that, what is, 100 meals or something? That provides
okay,
like
what are the meals?
I don't
what
know. Like, have you looked, Dave? Well, like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. I mean, it's all like sauce? You know, freeze dried, prepackaged type okay. foods, and it was a bucket, like a 5-gallon pail that's got 150 servings of food in it, retailing for $99. Huh. You can buy, you know, 3, 4, 5 of those buckets and set them in the basement, and you know, come mm-hmm. apocalypse time, you'll have some calories.
Now, that being said, if you're asking me. And this is very serious, but if you're asking me, like, will there be violence associated with or after the election, I'm sorry, but it's like, I'm scared to say yes. There will. How widespread will it be? I mean, I hope not. I hope nobody loses control. I hope everybody stays calm. But if you're asking me, are chances better than not that there will be some sort of violence, I'm going to say yes, sadly.
So are you prepping for it? Did you
No, because I don't think the bread and milk run? No, because I don't think, I don't see a scenario where it's widespread violence where somehow you're going to be locked in your house and not be able to leave. God, I hope that isn't the situation. And if it does, I guess I won't be ready other than the 180 bags of fruit snacks that I bought that we were supposed to give out on Halloween that we won't be giving out.
But they last forever, by the way, so you're in good shape.
Oh, yeah, very healthy, too, to consume that. But are people really, like, scared and, like, buying?
Are you? 651-461-9226. Are you prepping? See, I didn't consider this. And even when my girlfriend mentioned this to me, who worked at Costco, she said, like, I didn't stock up. I bought the couple of things that I needed at Costco that are staples that I was there for. And then I got out. I didn't even buy extra Diet Coke because I have enough in the house. And I'll be able to go and buy Diet Coke. I didn't buy extra toilet paper. Like, that seemed insane to me. Here's the deal. I told you at the beginning of the show, I have many friends that are voting for Trump.
Yeah.
If Trump loses, these are not people that are going to be in the streets committing violence.
No.
So the Trumpers that I know are not violent. They were not there on January 6th. They don't defend January 6th. Those aren't those kind of people. And that is what I do think most of the people voting for Trump are not going to be violent.
Right.
And also, if they are, what kind of violence? I know people are trying to scare us about this. What shape would this violence take? Are they going to be in the street shooting people, shooting guns? Are they going to go to Washington? Like, I don't have a fear about this. I really don't.
I don't either. If you're at the, like, and again, what are we describing as like a violent response? I mean, I'm worried about counting of votes, letting canvassing boards do their work without any interruption. That's what I'm worried about. But again, I don't want it to happen, and I hope it doesn't happen. But I just think and I know there's just a group of people that, whether or not there's an election or not, always are just like, well, you know, shit's going to, oop, excuse me, bloop's going to hit the face.
David, yep.
Did you get it, Dave? You know what I mean? Bleep's going to hit the fan. And I know Dave, boy, poor Dave, he was just not, I'm sorry about
he
that.
He did look panicked.
You know what? That's the first time I've ever done that, by the way. And I was just bragging to somebody about it. In 20-some years of radio, I never have sworn on the air. And I just did it. First of all, it's been nice working with you both.
I know,
secondly,
right?
If I'm still here after the break, there's people who do this no matter what that feel like whether it's the electrical grid or something is going to go haywire and they're going to need all that stuff in their basement to live. I know we all know of someone who's got one of those.
Remember Y2K?
Right.
Why? We all thought, the computer, I don't know what we thought, but people were prepping Y2K in case the computers go down. Well, they didn't. I mean, it's not that something can't happen, but I think this fear of violence, I feel like it's a little bit overblown.
I mean, we are as divided, though, as we have more than any time since the Civil War. And it's a scary place, and there's a lot of people have access to a lot of guns. And, I mean, that's
something. I wonder if gun sales have gone up.
Oh, I'm sure they have. They always go up. Every time there's some major event, people either go to the grocery store or the gun store to load up on guns and ammo. And so that's not a problem. That's not, there's no shortage of that happening.
Someone says, Jor, the only thing I've stocked up on is bourbon. Okay.
Well,
you know what? That's a good thing to stock up on. Yeah.
Somebody says, I was at Harbor Freight the day after Trump got shot, and they were running out of generators. I saw five people go out the door in 15 minutes. People are the strangest folks.
Generators. I don't know. I guess I just don't fear this giant civil war. I guess maybe I'm naive, and maybe I'm going to eat these words on Wednesday, but it didn't even cross my mind. And when she told me, it still did not urge me to, oh boy, maybe we got to be safer.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember, Adam, on 9/11, when I was on Fox, we worked in Northeast. We had our studio was on Johnson Street.
Right.
And there was a gas station in the parking lot. And I remember the night of 9/11, because we were doing the 9 o'clock news, there were lines down the block for the gas station. And I feel like I was so naive. I said out loud, like, why are people here? And people were saying, well, if this is a terrorist attack, if it's terrorists from the Middle East, which people assumed, and they were right, they were running because they thought there was going to be an oil embargo or gas was going to be limited. And people were stocking up on gas. And that was the first time I really experienced that. And of course, I was still reeling from the effect of 9/11. It was still that day. We had just found out a couple hours earlier that my brother was actually alive, thank God. And these people are thinking about gas. But it's true. Everybody does think about how it's going to affect them. I still did not fill up my tank with gas yesterday, and I still did not buy potted meat.
No.
I think we're going to be okay.
I hope so. I sure hope so. But again, there's plenty of people who are buying hundreds and hundreds of meals. Ready to go.
Some of your texts at 651-461-9226. I asked if you were one of the preppers at Costco yesterday, if you're taking any preparation for post-election possible violence. Guys, I hope we do not allow violence to become normalized. Good people of every stripe, we must do whatever we need to do to help the center hold. I agree with that. Jor, they return everything when the fog clears. Oh, do they? Really? The only reason there will be violence is because Trump is not sure if he's going to win. If he was sure he was going to win, there wouldn't be any violence and it would be peaceful. So is that true? Is that true?
People
on the left, tell me. Really?
I don't think so. I mean, and
because there's plenty of violent people on the left.
I was just going to say that, too, just to assume that, the only violence that will happen is if Trump loses and he claims not to lose. Now, there's precedent for that. I get that. January 6th is precedent for that. Somebody who refuses to admit they lost and then gets people to believe that somehow the election was rigged. Yes, that lays the groundwork for such violence. But no, I'm not. Absolutely not. Because when passions are this high and there's equally amount of people on the left who feel like this is democracy, man, and if we lose Tuesday, we're not going to have that left. So am I automatically discounting that? Oh no, they'll be totally peaceful about it. Of course not. We're in a hyper politicized, hyper tense time. Emotions are so high that sadly and clearly, there's so many people out there that just do not know how to comprehend how to deal with that kind of anger or that kind of angst. Sadly, and they take drastic measures, and that certainly nobody has an exclusive corner on that. So that's what concerns me too.
It concerns me also. Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and bourbon. Let her rip. No, we don't want... You can have all of those things, but we don't want to let her rip. Absolutely not. Another text. I am not stocked up, but I saw a fair amount of conflict erupting on the way out of the Vikings game last night. Wow. The texter continues. GOP was parked on a block off and handing out bumper stickers and evoking chants. I told my husband, let's just get our butts away from here. And yes, I am scared of the violence. Yeah. I get that. I hear the fear.
That is, though, that's Trump supporters, you know, doing their best to support Donald Trump. And I know that's very intimidating for some people, but mm-hmm. also people who support him feel like, well, no, we're just supporting our candidate and showing off.
And they are.
Right.
If you're just handing out bumper stickers, you're doing nothing wrong. That is a peaceful way. Go ahead, David.
Well, going back to what we started this conversation talking about, people going to Costco to stock up mm-hmm. on goods in case stuff goes down, as Adam said earlier. And
yeah, just like that.
Just like that. Look, I think that's possible. Like, think about January 6th. Do I think something to that scale is possible? Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe worse than that.
Right.
But I guess I don't see the connection between, like, a January 6th times three or something, right? Yeah. There's some major sort of violence, and that causes me to not be able to go buy rice at the store.
Right.
Like, to me, that doesn't – like, I haven't seen that happen in the last – hundreds of years in America, and I'm not really concerned that the store down the street's not going to have rice and beans and potatoes next week. So to me,
that's how
even
I
though
it.
I think there's a good chance something happens, I ain't going to buy the prepper's bucket from Costco today.
We'll see.
651-461-9226. We'll wrap up with a couple more of your texts next.
There's something I want to watch. That's why I suggest... We're very in flux with what we do with Random Review.
I know. But I did watch Woman of the Hour.
What'd you think?
So I can... Well, do we want to review it tomorrow?
We'll review it tomorrow.
Oh,
that's
well,
fine.
It's election. Yeah. Yeah. It's election day. But yeah, I think we can review it tomorrow.
We can
oh,
do
my
it
gosh.
On election and a, day. Yeah.
Yeah, we can, right? We need a little...
Of course. Need a little lighten it up.
You know, light stuff. Absolutely. Yeah.
We'll have the chief tomorrow, too, by the way.
Very much looking forward to him. And Tory.
Yeah.
And Tory Van Oot, obviously. Last minute politics or politicking. By the way, are the presidential candidates allowed to campaign on Election Day?
No.
They're not?
Nope.
I know you can't campaign near a polling place, but I didn't know if they were still going to be out and about.
Today's the last day.
Good. I'm sure they're looking forward to it as well. I'm surprised, Adam, at how many people are afraid of violence after this election. Like, I know we've been hearing about it. I'm not naive to think that, there's going to be violence. But I kind of blew off those as a scare tactic. And I still feel that way. I still don't think there is going to be violence that affects, like, you and me in Minnesota. You know, maybe people will rally at the Capitol. Maybe there'll be a march on Washington. Hopefully it won't be violent or it will be controllable. Hopefully we will not have another January 6th. But I don't feel afraid of living in my house in Minnesota.
Nor do I. And I don't, again, what does widespread violence look like? And what, or as opposed to, but if you're asking me January 6th, like, do we have to worry about something like that happening again? I would say absolutely 100% yes. Because I feel like the same playbook has been put into place. Clearly, Donald Trump is saying, he's laying the groundwork again, saying, well, you know, if I win, it's a fair election. If not, if I don't win, it's got to be rigged somehow. And there's so many people that buy into that and believe that, that that's what gives me pause. And that's what I feel like the safeguards that were in place in 2020, will they still be there again this time? And that's what concerns me again.
This texter says, I've had two signs stolen out of my yard and a third slashed in half. I'm concerned about election backlash. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. And by the way, friends, don't do that.
No.
That's their freedom of speech.
Exactly.
Let them do that. That's their property.
Right.
Don't do that.
No.
Don't be that neighbor.
It's so petty and just so juvenile behavior. But that's where we are. Adam, stop talking about gloom and doom in the election. You're starting to make me worried, and I wasn't worried. Words matter. I'm just
don't worry.
Telling
don't
my
worry.
Truth. Yeah, I think we'll be fine here. Okay.
You know what I want to talk about next? And is it okay if I give us a little tease here and people can jump in? Whether or not you return your cart after grocery shopping says a lot about you.
Oh.
What it says, though, we will wait till after the break, because we're going to dive deep into returning your shopping cart. But Adam, do you want to share how you manage your shopping cart?
I will wait after the break, because if it tells, I'm a failed man in many areas of my life, but when it comes to shopping cart protocol, I am like Mother Teresa, okay? I am the Mother Teresa of shopping carts. I'll
be the judge of that
after the news.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.